Good evening. Let's call to the order. Let's call to order the Human Relations Commission meeting on Thursday, September 11, 2025 at 7:07. The city doesn't tolerate disruptive behavior in our meetings. Sunnyvale prides itself on the rich diversity of our residents. We are committed to creating a culture of belonging where members of our diverse community feel included, safe, and respected. This Human Relations Commission's meeting is considered a limited public forum, which means the commission can regulate the time, place, and manner of speech. Speaker comments must be limited to the agenda item being considered by the commission for consent calendar or public hearing items. A speaker comments during oral communication must be limited to matters within the commission's authority, generally referred to as within the commission's subject matter jurisdiction. If a speaker's comments are not related to an agenda item, the president officer will rule the speaker out of order. A speaker will now be ruled out of order because of disagreement with the content of their speech. Location and online meeting details are available on the Human Relations Commission's meeting agenda. Scan the on-screen QR code or click the language accent and translation link on the meeting agenda to read and listen along in more than 60 different languages. Use the show caption button to view captions on Zoom. Comments on matters not on the agenda or presentation item must be submitted prior to the time I call the item for oral communications. Comments on the agenda items must be submitted prior to the time I close the public hearing on the agenda item. Speakers are requested to keep their comments to the time period set for public comments for the agenda item, which will be strictly enforced. Guidelines are posted on the city website and on the Human Relations Commission meeting agenda. Please join me in the salute to the flag. Recording officer, may we please have the roll call?
Commissioner Terry?
Present.
Commissioner Rosenfeld?
Present.
Commissioner Camacho? Vice Chair Sakia?
Present.
Commissioner Zulkowski?
Present.
Chair Zapata?
Present.
We have five commissioners present with Commissioner Camacho absent and Commissioner Landa with an excused absence.
Moving on to our next item, 250916. Is there a staff presentation?
Thank you, Chair Zapata. There is a staff presentation. There is a presentation from Livable Sunnyvale Coalition that is going to be presented about their mission and the values overview. And for that, we have their members of Livable Sunnyvale present here and today. So I will cede the podium to the presenters. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening, commissioners, and also Councilmember Chang, city staff, and members of the public. My name is Doug Kunz. I'm the vice chair of Livable Sunnyvale, and I'm joined here tonight by my fellow board members, Agnes Veith, who's also the vice chair, Chuck Fraley, Mike Cerrone, and of course up on the dais, Chair Zapata is also a member of our board. So as you see on our slide, you know, the first thing that I wanted to talk about was just Livable Sunnyvale's mission itself. So Livable Sunnyvale promotes a livable, sustainable city with affordable housing and transportation solutions for all members of our community through education, outreach, and advocacy. So, you know, let's unpack that a bit and, you know, what we think makes Livable Sunnyvale, you know, have a unique perspective on our city. So first, we have a holistic and local take on issues. I call it, the power of yes and thinking. So one thing is that, seated throughout that, you see things like housing, transportation, environment. And that's something that if you think about any one of those things in isolation, you might not be coming to as good of a solution as if you really take a big picture look at how those things intersect and how they interact and think about, trade-offs among them. Another thing is that we advocate and seek to help people understand these issues. So we have both an advocacy mission and an educational mission. And that's really because, a lot of this stuff can kind of devolve into policy wonkery, and to help people engage effectively, with the city, with policymaking, it's helpful for them to understand what the issues are. Next slide, please. All right, so let's talk a bit about why Livable Sunnyvale matters, and why the organization was started up. So I'll start by asking some questions. All right, so show me your hand if you think that Sunnyvale housing is easily affordable for most people. Anyone? Yeah, not seeing a lot of hands. Okay, next up, who enjoys being in freeway traffic in a car? Nope. Okay. Who finds our current public transportation convenient for any trip that you might want to take? Anyone? A few. Okay, yeah. Depends on where you're going. I would think that, there are personally, sometimes, depending on where you're living and where you're going, like our public transportation can be good for like commuting trips, but not necessarily for, shopping and the broad variety of things that people might want to take on. All right, if we add biking and walking into the mix in addition to public transportation, is our transportation system convenient yet, or are you still far too often, or your fellow people in the city, too dependent on a car? All right, next up, if you want to make change in these areas, do you know what to advocate for? I'm guessing we might have some hands. And finally, rather than speaking as an individual, isn't there an organization that you can join in order to amplify your voice and have impact? And there are a number of great organizations out there. Livable Sunnyvale is certainly one, and that's part of why I'm talking to you about it tonight. Next slide, please. All right, so about Livable Sunnyvale. We are a coalition, and we're based in the community. So one thing to bear in mind is that a lot of advocacy organizations that are out there tend to have a regional footprint or be statewide in scope. For example, like one prominent pro-housing advocacy organization that we're aware of is like California YIMBY, and they are statewide. But, a lot of housing type of advocacy really needs to center on the local level, and you need to be engaging with local policymakers and local decisions. So we're local, and that's really important. We form coalition partnerships with like-minded organizations at the regional and state level. So, later on, we have a slide that talks about who, our coalition partners are. And so part of what we try to do is be a bridge, for people living in Sunnyvale to those statewide organizations, and to bring good ideas from those statewide organizations, where they would be applicable in Sunnyvale, try to bring those in as well. So, we're that coalition aspect of what we do, I think, is really part of the power. We do have our Sunnyvale perspective, but we're not treating ourselves as an island. Other coalition partners that we have are also local and work on different aspects of the same issues that we work on. So, for example, recently we formed a new coalition partnership with Helping Hands, who works on homeless outreach, and just trying to make sure that the unhoused have avenues towards keeping themselves afloat while they're waiting for the safety net systems from the county to kick in. And unfortunately, those wheels take a lot longer to turn than I think any of us would like. Listed on the slide here, we have our four pillars. I've already hinted about them in my earlier comments, but housing is kind of the first among equals here. Really that until we have enough housing to be affordable for everyone, that just is a fundamental issue in terms of, our community's ability to be welcoming. And, you know, like for me personally, part of why I got involved, you know, I'm fine in my house, but I've got two kids who are teenagers, and I don't think that they're going to be able to live in Sunnyvale unless they really want to work in tech, which is probably not kind of how they're wired. So, you know, that's like my personal why. But, you know, for, you know, throughout our coalition, we have, you know, people who are renters, people who are struggling to get by, people who are really trying to find an end to our local housing, which is a lot harder to find than it should be. So housing is one. But as you pull at that strand, you start to have other things. You know, one thing that the next pillar that I'll highlight is sustainability. And here, you know, how that intersects with housing is that by having more housing in our core cities in the Bay Area, like Sunnyvale, what you're doing is you're putting the housing where the jobs and the infrastructure already are, which is more sustainable, because you're not having to build new stuff out at the edge of the area, and you're also reducing things like commute trips. Another hat I wear pertains to sustainability for city policy. Without going too far into the weeds there, transportation emissions are Sunnyvale's top source of greenhouse gas emissions. So by having more housing, you know, here in Sunnyvale and fewer commute trips coming in from outside the city, that's one of the areas where we can really make traction on greenhouse gas emissions. Also, as we build new buildings, you know, another sustainability aspect is making sure that the buildings themselves are eco-friendly. You know, so in Sunnyvale, putting in place the right building codes for, you know, energy efficiency, all electric building that doesn't contribute to greenhouse gas emissions, trying to reduce the embodied carbon, you know, when a building is put up. All right, so moving on from sustainability to transportation, you know, as we add housing, you know, inevitably, you know, what's one of the, you know, things that objections you will hear about new housing? Oh gosh, you know, where are all the cars going to go? You know, people are going to be parking on my streets. There's going to be more backups. So just making sure that our local transportation network can accommodate the added people as we add the housing that we so desperately need. You know, here I've, you know, kind of shared my perspective already about the single passenger automobile. I submit that it's simple geometry, that on a given roadway, you can fit a lot more bikes onto that roadway or people who are on a bus than you can single passenger cars. And so as we add the housing that we need, making sure that our transportation approach is one that is going to favor the means of transportation that better fit with, you know, a densifying city. And that's going to be, you know, bikes and transportation, and not continuing to rely on single passenger cars. So making sure that our network is helping people to get out of those and have other ways to get around. And last, but certainly not least, is equity, which is, you know, as we aim to build enough housing to make it affordable, you know, that's an equity move in itself. But we also need to think about what are the unintended effects of that. We want to make sure that we're not displacing our most vulnerable residents in the name of better serving them. And also making sure that people have convenient access to services and healthy food. So, you know, it is not just a matter of having housing, but also making sure that we're doing things like thinking about what the neighborhood serving retail is, and making sure that there's a balance there, and not just kind of a desert of only housing. Finally, thinking about how we thoughtfully manage change and trade-offs as we move towards the Sunnyvale that we want for ourselves, our kids, and the newcomers who are inviting into our community. Next slide, please. So this slide is talking about past advocacy campaigns. So since Livable Sunnyvale has these four pillars, you know, there are a lot of different areas that where we have advocated in terms of local policy. First off, in terms of housing advocacy, especially affordable housing, you know, some areas where that we've engaged quite heavily. One was the Moffett Park specific plan that was approved by the city a couple years ago. In that case, the Moffett Park plan upzoned over 20,000, upzoned to add over 20,000 units in North Sunnyvale. Also, the El Camino Real specific plan, in that case, that was upzoning to add about 9,000 units of housing along El Camino Real, which is, of course, also a key a rapid bus route. In addition, turning to transportation solutions, Livable Sunnyvale has advocated for the extension of the SV Hopper or something like it into Sunnyvale to provide more in the way of convenient rides for people who don't necessarily have a car themselves. We've advocated for the Fremont Union High School District to provide more bus passes to students, particularly at Homestead and Fremont, where they're often coming down from the north part of the city. We've advocated for the Tasman multi-use path. So this is, you know, bike, safe biking and walking along Tasman and connecting up a lot of the mobile home parks there with the retail that's there at Fair Oaks and Tasman, the grocery outlet. Also, safe routes to school. One thing is that for kids, they are a particularly vulnerable population, you know, as they're trying to get to their neighborhood school. So making sure that they're good walking and biking routes is key for them. Last area I'll highlight in terms of past advocacy is equitable engagement. We've been active in a number of areas. First off, we wanted to call out minimum wage increases. One thing is that making housing affordable is a matter of supply, but it's also a matter of people's purchasing power and the financial resources that they have in order to try and make their rent. Next up, working with the Sunnyvale Community Services community leaders. And this is a wonderful group of very engaged people who bring a unique perspective and voice. And so it's important to listen to what they have to say. Advocating for safe parking. So this is another route towards providing, some kind of short-term relief for our unhoused population as we try to get them into more sustainable and stable situations. And finally, we were active on the Memorandum of Understanding for some Sunnyvale Mobile Home Park. So trying to make sure that tenant protections and anti-displacement are in place there because we have quite a few citizens who are living in mobile homes in Sunnyvale. Next slide, please. So how we advocate. So one thing I would highlight is that we get wonky in order to make an impact. We also, part of how we do that is by educating our members to help demystify the policy wonkery and help them know how to engage productively on these local issues. The primary avenue, not the only one, is through our monthly meetings. We have monthly meetings on an array of topics that are related to all of our pillars. So recent education topics have or will include the following. We've covered renter protection policies and compared and contrasted renter protection policies are in place in Mountain View, which has a pretty robust package, and also what we have in place in Sunnyvale and what some opportunities there might be. The Sunnyvale Village Center Master Plan, and that's one, you know, I mentioned earlier, for example, you know, the need to preserve neighborhoods serving retail as housing is getting built. Unfortunately, a couple of the village centers in the north of the city, it's looking like we might be getting only housing and creating some food deserts as we build that much needed housing. So the Village Center Master Plan is something that was crucial to get into place and Livable Sunnyvale engaged on it. We did a session on Sunnyvale's Climate Action Plan and their, you know, the city's efforts through various means to try and get a handle on our greenhouse gas emissions from transportation and buildings largely. We had a session on how ICE operates and knowing your rights, which was a very eye-opening one in terms of understanding. You know, it's one thing to kind of see the scary headlines. It's another to think of kind of the logistical nuts and bolts of how an organization like that operates and understanding what it can do and what might be a stretch. All right. Green building techniques like mass timber construction. So, as different projects are proposed, what are some of the interesting cutting edge technologies in terms of reducing embodied carbon? CEQA reform, that's the California Environmental Quality Act. And that's a piece of legislation that has really been a double-edged sword in terms of protecting the environment, but also being used and abused in ways to hold up housing, which was, I don't think, the original intention of its drafting. So in addition to this education, we also do candidate forums for city council candidates every election. So this is also a chance to, try and have candidates speak about the issues and, give our members a sense of where they stand and give them a chance to ask questions. We co-sponsor events with coalition partners. So for example, this past summer, we had an event with Catalyze SV called "Why Is There So Much Community Opposition to Housing?" And that really delved into a lot of the dynamics behind this stuff. What you're going to, as you seek to increase housing production, what are the concerns you're going to hear and what are some of the policy levers for addressing them? We have an endorsement process for housing developments, and so as different developments are proposed, particularly affordable housing, we look at those, if we endorse it, that also is for us a way to then be able to write, as an organization, letters to council supporting that particular project, which, it's more powerful speaking as an organization rather than as an individual. We also weigh in on infrastructure. For example, we wrote letters in support of, the Bernardo bike ped undercrossing under the Caltrain tracks, in that case to the relevant federal agency, advocating that the city get a grant. Next slide, please. So I spoke about earlier about our coalition partners. This is by no means all of them, but what you see is a cross-section of housing advocacy groups, environmental groups, transportation advocacy groups like Friends of Caltrain and Bike Silicon Valley, and more. And really the idea is, we're looking for partners who on whatever their specific issue is, where we are of like minds. And we, through co-sponsoring events with them and exchanging ideas with them, we're able to bring more things to our membership than we could do if we were just trying to do it all just through the efforts of the board. Next slide, please. We've received a number of grants in furtherance of our mission. So most recently, we received a grant from the Silicon Valley Community Foundation, which is all about changing the narrative and perception about the unhoused. Trying to think how to describe it more than that. Good start. All right. Yeah. And in addition, we want to make sure that our meetings themselves are as open and welcoming as possible. So we offer real-time translation through Wordly so that, it's not something that is only available to you if English is your native tongue. All right. Next slide, please. All right. So some ways to get involved with Livable Sunnyvale, if you're interested in what you've heard. First off, you can follow and engage with us on social media. That's a great way to find out what educational events we have coming up at our meetings. In addition, I'd highlight volunteering or attending a meeting or social. So either the meetings themselves, which, like I said, tend to be issue focused and you'll learn a lot, or just coming on, meeting up with us at Fibbers or wherever our social is that month and having a more casual conversation to build bonds. If you want to learn more information about us, I've listed our website and you can find out a lot more information about who we are and what we do. Next slide, please. With that, thank you for your interest, and we're happy to take questions, either myself or the rest of the board.
I just want to say thank you for coming tonight. It has been like a really informative presentation, and we're so happy to have community partners here in Sunnyvale, like Livable Sunnyvale. And just as a personal comment, I'm so proud of being part of this organization. It's amazing the way that you care about people, that you're willing to work all the effort that you put on everything that you want to improve in the city is really admirable. Do any of my colleagues have any question?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Coons. That was very informative. And you sounds like you and your team are just doing amazing work, all of you. I just had a question on some of your past advocacy. I may have missed it, but can you detail a little more what you meant by what's the Sunnyvale Housing Element 2023 to 2031 is all about?
I'm going to have to drag up somebody who's been on the board longer than I have.
I can do a quick summary of it. Every 7 or 8 years, every city in California is required by the state to come up with a plan for how to build all the housing that they're required to build. So the state will go and say each city is responsible for building 10,000 new housing units or 5,000, depending on their population and characteristics. And so every 7 or 8 years, the city has to revise that plan and submit it to the city. And we were involved, it's a very long document. It covers lots of things. Sunnyvale has to build, I don't know, something like 12,000 new housing units over the next 8 years. And it's the plan for where to put those. One of the main things we were pushing for, there's four or five or six of them, but one of the main things was kind of spreading that housing out through the city rather than concentrating it into certain pockets, actually getting all parts of the city to kind of contribute to building new housing so that residents can live all throughout the city. Oh yeah, and so the process, one of the ways the process works is a back and forth with the city submits the document to the state gives feedback, they submit it to the state again. And so a lot of the advocacy was both with the city and actually with the state organizations that are responsible for approving these housing elements.
I have a comment and then a question. First, one, I'm so glad to know about any multi-sector and multidisciplinary, I don't know the right word is, efforts that are out there because of the intertwining or how intertwined all these issues are. In fact, as you were talking, one of the outcomes that I thought of that Livable Sunnyvale's work actually does impact is health outcomes. Because if we have a more walkable city and you have the reduction of stress when it comes to commuting, we will have better health outcomes also. So now that leads to my other question, which is, I noticed when you had the logos, and I know you said that wasn't all the coalition partners, but the ones that I noticed were around transportation. Do you also partner with businesses? Because again, they have a vested interest in having their people who work for them or living close by because it makes it easier for them to access a talent pool. Or no, is that not one of the partners that you would look at, whether it's big business or small business?
I'm afraid that I can't answer that we do work with our businesses. What we do, though, is we do volunteer work, especially with SCS, but we're not actually working with businesses to make sure that they advocate for better transportation. It's more of a general, let's advocate that the minimum wage goes up, which would cover all businesses in Sunnyvale, but no specific business at this time.
Okay.
Am I remembering correctly, everybody? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But that is a great idea.
Do you have any other comment or question? Thank you so much for coming. Thank you. Thank you. We really appreciate the presentation. It was the best.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I think more people should know about Livable mm-hmm. Sunnyvale.
Part of why we're here.
This is now the public's opportunity to address the commission on topics now listed on tonight's agenda and presentation items. This section is limited to 15 minutes and might be extended or continued after the public hearing's general business section of the meeting. Individuals may only speak once during oral communication. This Human Relations Commission meeting is a limited public forum, and the commission can regulate the time, place, and manners of speech. Speaker comments during oral communication must be limited to matters within the commission's authority, which is known as the commission's subject matter jurisdiction. If a speaker comments are outside the commission's subject matter jurisdiction, the presiding officer will rule the speaker out of order. This allows the commission to conduct its business in a reasonably efficient manner and protects the rights of other speakers. A speaker will not be ruled out of the order because of disagreement with the content of their speech. Please submit a speaker card to the recording officer. Raise your digital hand now or dial 9 on a telephone to indicate your wish to speak. I will call members of public participating in person first, followed by remote participants. A speaker will have, should I go ahead now? Okay, so we really appreciate that we have today a lot of participants. And since we only have 15 minutes for oral communication, we're going to cut off for just 1 minute per participant. We want to hear all of you and we want to give you enough time. Since we have a lot of people in person and on Zoom, we want to give you the opportunity to, you know, express and share your thoughts with us. So a speaker will have 1 minute to speak. Recording officer, do we have any participant in person? Any in-person participant wishing to speak on oral communication?
Yes, Chair. If you can just give me 1 moment, please.
Yes, of course.
Sorry about that. So first up, we have Tammy Q, followed by Kathy W. Can we have Tammy please proceed to the lectern?
Hi, my name is Tammy Qualls, and I'm a Sunnyvale resident. I'm here in support of Ulysses Peña Lopez, a longtime Sunnyvale resident, father, and community member. Ulysses was violently arrested right here in Sunnyvale on February 21st of this year. Since then, he has been held in inhumane conditions and needs medical attention that he cannot get while being detained. I urge the commission to make a statement of support for Ulysses and to ask that Representative Khanna pledge his support and visit Ulysses at the Golden State Annex Detention Center. Thank you.
Thank you.
Kathy W., please proceed to the lectern.
Hi, my name is Kathy W. I'm a resident of Santa Clara County. I'm here in support of also Ulysses Peña Lopez, who was, as you stated, is a longtime Sunnyvale resident, father, and community member who had his rights and dignity violated by ICE violently on February 21st, 2025. Since then, his inhumane detention conditions have caused his health to deteriorate and he needs medical attention. He is at the California City Detention Center. I'm asking the commission and Rep. Ro Khanna to please support him, and also if Rep. Ro Khanna could please visit him at the California City Detention Center. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have Mike S. followed by Samantha. Mike, please proceed to the lectern. You have 1 minute to address the commission.
Good evening, commissioners. Mike Cerrone speaking on my own behalf. We're getting close to October, where every year elected officials proudly proclaim that their city, county, or state has dropped Columbus Day, often replacing it with Indigenous Peoples Day. Indigenous Peoples Day is an excellent idea, long overdue, and I'm not here to defend Columbus, but Columbus Day has never been primarily about Christopher Columbus. It has always been about celebrating Italian Americans. It was proclaimed as a holiday in 1892 as an apology after a racist lynching of 11 Italian Americans in New Orleans. And it has always been, since then, has been celebrated as a holiday for Italian Americans. So changing it to Italian American Day or something else would be appropriate, but just getting rid of it is not helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Samantha. I am a Alameda County resident. I'm here in support of Ulises Peña Lopez, a longtime Sunnyvale resident and community member who had his rights and dignity violated by ICE while violently arrested. I urge the commission to make a statement of support for Ulises and demand that Representative Ro Khanna pledge his support and visit Ulises at California City Detention Center. Please, I urge you to include Ulises Peña Lopez in a city council agenda. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now we have Uriel M. followed by Anthony S. Uriel, if you can please proceed to the lectern.
There we go. All right. Hi, my name is Uriel Magdaleno. I'm with CSO San Jose, and I'm here in support of Ulises Peña Lopez. Ulises Peña Lopez has been a longtime community member of Sunnyvale. He has an established life right here. He was violently, as others have said, arrested by ICE, detained. They smashed his window. And so what I'm urging the Human Relations Commission to do right now is to write a statement of support of Ulises, welcoming him back to the Sunnyvale community, which is important, showing that the Sunnyvale community supports Ulises and is ready to embrace him. So again, wanting to make that statement of support, as well as urging Ro Khanna as well to pledge his support to visit Ulises at California City. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Anthony. I'm a resident of Santa Clara County, and I'm just here to voice my support for Ulises, who was unjustly detained by ICE, is currently in California City detention. I know there's been a lot of conversations this past day about political violence, and I think it's important to note that political violence comes from rhetoric and it comes from policies. And that means ICE agents coming into San Jose and taking and breaking families apart and leaving residents fearful to even go get groceries or even take their kids to school. So as activists and as members of our community who care about the safety and dignity of everyone in our community, I think it's important that we speak up for those in our community who are marginalized like Ulises. So I'm urging the commission to speak up Ulises in the next agenda. And I'm also urging Ro Khanna to visit Ulises. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair, that was the final in-person wishing to speak on this agenda item.
Does anyone else want to speak on their oral communication before we hear from remote speakers? Okay. Because of the nature of the remote communication, a speaker who are ruled out of order will not given another chance to speak on this item. Therefore, speakers are warned to limit their comments to suggest that will fall within the commission's authority to decide or take action. Recording officer, do we have any remote participant wishing to speak on oral communication?
Yes, Chair. First, we have Aram J, followed by Edwin.
Good evening. I'm Avram Finkelstein from the city of Palo Alto. I'm an anti-Zionist Jew, and I wanted to support the people that spoke on behalf of Mr. Lopez. I didn't know that that was on the calendar. I have a protest sign that says, "Kiss my ICE," in reference to ICE. On the flip side, I have a sign that reads, "Eliminate the State of Israel." It's a terrorist nation. It's a genocidal state. And we must attempt to eliminate it now, but not eliminate the Jewish people. So I support a one-state solution, but we must quickly end the genocide and also eliminate the state of Israel. It's our patriotic duty to stand up against a terrorist state, and I really appreciate your opportunity to talk. I'm a retired public defender. I'm a big-time proponent of the First Amendment and the right to speak out. Hate speech is protected by the Constitution, and I thank you very much.
Thank you. So before we continue with the speaker on Zoom, we want to remind all the participants that we are in a free space, but we need to respect and use correct language. Okay, let me find it. Okay. The commission can regulate time, place, and manner of the speech. Let me see. Where are those? Okay, but not about that. Language. So just a friendly reminder to all the participants on Zoom and in person, the city does not tolerate disruptive behavior in our meetings. Sunnyvale prides itself on the rich diversity of our neighbor and residents. We are committed to creating a culture of belonging where members of our diverse community feel included, safe, and respected. We will continue. The Commissioner Camacho just arrived to the meeting.
Thank you, Chair. I have noted Commissioner Camacho's attendance.
Thank you. We're going to continue with the participants on soon. Thank you.
First, we'll have Abby, followed by Zeeda B. Abby, you have 1 minute to address the commission.
Hi, good evening. My name's Abby Pena. I'm a Sunnyvale resident, and I was born and raised here in the Bay Area. I'm here to ask for support to be reunited with my husband, Ulises Pena Lopez. We have a three-year-old daughter together who has not seen her father for the past 6.5 months. He was violently arrested on February 21st by ICE, forcing him out of our vehicle with no warrant. And my daughter was watched as they violently took him away from us. The brutality of the arrest caused him to be hospitalized at El Camino Hospital, and they later took him to the detention center. His health has been deteriorating really quickly since the detention, and he was recently transferred to Cal City Detention Center. I'm here as Ulises' wife to urge the commission to please make a statement of support for Ulises, stating the need for him to be reunited with myself and my daughter. As a constituent of Rocanas District, we demand that he pledge his support for Ulises and my family and visit his constituent Ulises at the Cal City Detention Center. Thank you.
Thank you.
Zeeda, you have one minute to address the commission.
Hi there. My name is Zeeda Blattner, and I am a San Francisco resident, but I work with many individuals and organizations in Santa Clara County. I'm also here in support of Ulises and his family. I've had the incredible pleasure of working with them since his brutal arrest. And I've been continually impressed how they tirelessly organize around their loved one. I've seen their deep ties in this community. Ulises and many of his family members are union members. People have strong ties here. And I think in this moment of political division, we really need to follow their lead and rally around our people. I heard earlier that you respect the diversity of your community. You want to make sure that everyone feels safe. Our government is actively kidnapping people off the streets and putting them in detention centers and violently abusing them. And so we need our electeds to take action. We need Rocana to go visit him in detention and make sure that there are commentary on these horrible conditions. Also, I believe earlier you cut off a few of the people that were waiting to speak. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have Alex M. followed by Kimberly M. Alex, you have 1 minute to address the commission.
Hi, thank you. Yes, my name is Alex Mensing, and I work at the California Collaborative for Immigrant Justice. We work with people who are inside ICE detention, and just earlier today, I was hearing from people who are locked up at California City, which is where Ulises is. There's no medical attention. People with heart conditions have been waiting to get their pills day after day. They wake them up at 2 a.m. to go get them, but then it's out of time and they have to go back to their cell without it. This is not somewhere that's safe, especially not for somebody who was violently arrested and hospitalized. So I'm here to support Abby. I'm here to support everybody. And I think that this is, Ulises is not the only one going through this. And so you have an opportunity as members of your city to try to get members of Congress like Ro Khanna to do what they need to do for everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.
Kimberly M., you have 1 minute to address the commission.
Hello, Commission. My name is Kimberly, and I lived in the Bay Area for a long time, but currently reside in Los Angeles. And I'm here in support of Ulises Peña Lopez. He's a longtime Sunnyvale resident, and his story reached me through social media. And I think it's still important to be here in support of his family and of him today, as his rights were really violated by ICE and documented and, you know, shared and created a movement amongst people throughout immigrant rights, not only in the Bay Area, but here in LA and throughout the country. And I hear, you know, throughout your meeting, you all are, you know, saying you want a livable Sunnyvale and you want to be committed to creating a culture of belonging where your members of your diverse community feel included and respected. And I think it's appropriate to write a statement in support of him to be released from a detention center. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, we have Edwin, followed by Darelda M. Edwin, you have 1 minute to address the commission.
Hi, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Edwin Carmona Cruz. I'm the co-executive director at the California Collaborative for Immigrant Justice. If this is the first time hearing of Ulises Peña Lopez and you are moved to act, please join us. What happened to Ulises is unfortunately a reality for so many people in this community and communities across the country. So we urge this commission to make a statement in support of Ulises, as others have mentioned, and elevate this call to the city council, to the full city council. We also urge local elected bodies such as the City Council to remind congressional leaders of the responsibility to the constituents such as Ulises. We've been in touch with Congressman Khanna's office regarding a visit to Ulises, and it's been 6 months with nothing on the calendar. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Darleda, you have 1 minute to address the commission. Darleda, you have been unmuted.
Hi, my name is Geralda Medina. I'm a Sunnyvale resident and attorney. I'm here in support of Ulises Peña Lopez, a longtime Sunnyvale resident, father, and community member who had his rights and dignity violated by ICE while being violently arrested. I was horrified that this happened in our city, and we cannot allow this to happen to our community members. I urge the commission to make a statement in support of Ulysses and to add this to the City Council's agenda and urge Representative Khanna to pledge his support and visit Ulysses at the detention center. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair, that was the final remote participant.
I will go ahead and close oral communication. I will go ahead and open public comment on consent calendar item. Please submit a speaker card to the recording officer, raise your digital hand now, or dial 9 on a telephone to indicate you wish to speak. I will call on members of the public participating in person first, followed by remote participants. Speakers will have 3 minutes to speak. Recording officer, do we have any in-person participants wishing to speak on a consent calendar item?
Yes, Chair, we have, not an in-person participant.
Recording officer, do we have any remote participants wishing to speak on a consent calendar item?
No, Chair, we do not have anyone online.
I will close public comments. I will not ask for a motion from my colleagues.
Hold on. Chair, I believe you asked for a motion.
Yes.
Okay, I'll make a motion to approve the consent calendar.
There is a second.
I second that.
Is there a discussion or advocacy on the motion? Recording officer, please conduct a roll call vote.
Commissioner Zulkowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Camacho?
Yes.
Commissioner Rosenfeld?
Yes.
Commissioner Landa? Commissioner Terry?
Yes.
Vice Chair Sakia?
I will abstain because I wasn't at that meeting.
Chair Zapata?
Yes.
The motion carries 5-0 with Vice Chair abstaining and Vice Chair Sakia abstaining and Commissioner Landa absent.
Thank you. Moving on to our next item, 250917. Is there a staff report?
Yes, Chair. So I will be presenting to all of you kind of like the programming that we in the Office of Equity, Access, and Inclusion have been planning for United Against Hate Week. So if you could share screen with the United Against Hate Week website, that'll be great, Selena. Thank you. So United Against Hate Week, as many of you know, is celebrated between October 19 and the 25th. We have been doing this, or we have participated in a United Against Hate Week for the last 4 years. And the idea of United Against Hate Week is to create spaces for the community to participate of or include and encourage local residents to take action in local in their own local community to change in the course of this growing intolerance that we are living in. So definitely we want residents of Sunnyvale to participate in or to create spaces where they can't create a more inclusive, more equitable community. And to help in that process, our office has included two events that I just want to bring forward to all of you. One of them is in collaboration with the LGBTQ youth space. I pass some of these flyers to the community, as well as I think some of them are in your on your desk, but definitely on the agenda package. So the idea is that we are going to have a panel of LGBTQ youth. And well, actually, there's not only youth, but it's a very diverse group of folks that are going to be sharing their personal stories, lived experiences. And that is going to be happening on October 21st, Thursday, from 3 to 5 p.m. And it's going to be here in our city hall. I will encourage the commissioners to please promote this event, to attend as well, and to invite among, you know, your networks, your family members, friends, to come and join us. There is a registration page on our website, so I don't know if you want to bring that up, but usually we want to know if how many, you know, how many people are we going to be expecting. So that's what we do at registration. And so if you direct them to Sunnyvale Equity page, you're going to be seeing the registration page. It's just a few questions. It's not going to take you more than 10 seconds or so. So anyway, this is out in the public already, and presented here to the commissioners tonight. The other thing that I wanted to, the other event that I wanted to share with all of you is a event that we have been collaborating with the Office of, actually with another commission, the Sustainability Commission. And as part of the Sustainability Speaker Series, we have invited Daphne Frias. She is a disability and climate justice organizer, and she's going to be talking about how disability rights connect to environmental justice. Also, how the you will learn also about the strength of the disabled communities in their role of fighting climate change. And the Daphne is a super inspiring person that has done so much at such a short age that I really want people to attend, but also to promote. This is happening on Monday, October 27. I know it's one day, it's the week after, but it was the only time that she was available. So it's Monday, October 27 from 7 to 8:30 p.m. And it's also aligning with the speaker, sustainability speaker series. The registration is also, there is a QR code, and people can easily scan it or go to the Bit.ly link that is provided on the flyer. I think that is also is going to be on the Sunnyvale calendar as well. So I don't think it's posted just yet, but it will be. So then you can actually direct them to the Sunnyvale website. The reason that we do United Against Hate Week is because, and I wanted to bring up this to the fourth, just because of the speaker that we had before, but also because we want to be a space where we value and respect all type of folks here in Sunnyvale. And I just wanted to go back to the statement of our city values and public service, that it is on our website, but sometimes people don't have this very present in their mind. And I just wanted to bring us back to this part of our core, our own city values. And I just want to, I'm getting all jumbled up, but I just wanted to go back to reading part of these statements. So our community can take comfort in knowing that our city leaders and staff remain dedicated to these core values. One, valuing our individual experiences and supporting and protecting people of any race, religion, ancestry, ethnicity, ability, gender, sexual orientation, or gender identity, honoring cultural and religious traditions, and valuing and embracing the diverse backgrounds, race, nationalities, ancestries, and ethnicities, and welcoming immigrants and refugees. So just wanted to highlight this, and that's why I also wanted to connect it to United Against Hate Week, because in situations, in the moments that we are living now, it's important to just find the humanity that we all share, even though the war around us is difficult and is not easy sometimes to handle and to experience. So I open it up to the commissioners to ask any questions about this and to give me your feedback as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Fer. I will go now ask for a question from my colleagues. Does anyone has a question?
I just want to thank you, Fernanda, for making that statement, particularly in light of the vitriol that was just spewed from the gentleman in Palo Alto. Thank you.
All right. Okay. I will go ahead and open public hearing on this item. Please submit a speaker card to the recording officer. Raise your digital hand now or dial 9 on the telephone to indicate you wish to speak. I will call members of the public participating in person first, followed by remote participants. Speakers will have 3 minutes to speak. Recording officer, do we have any in-person participants wishing to speak on this item?
Yes, Chair, we do. Give me just 1 second. First, we have D followed by Gabriel. D, if you can please proceed to the lectern, you have 3 minutes to address the commission.
Can you hear me? Okay. Thank you. Good evening. In May, after Hands on the Arts Festival, Mayor Klein and City Manager Tim Kirby sent me an email promising to revise procedures conduct a community equity assessment and provide cultural competency training for staff and citywide study. But tonight on the agenda, there was a proposed agenda. There was an anti-Semitism standalone study issue. While the experience of Palestinians, Muslims, Arabs, Asians, South Asians, and LGBTQ plus presidents were not included in that. So who've also been victims of here in Sunnyvale, which I am actually happy that there is the event that's being put on. And I would hope, based on the history that happened with incidents here in Sunnyvale in 2019, a man deliberately drove his car into pedestrians because he thought they were Muslim, injuring 8 people, including one of them was a child. In 2022, an elderly Asian man was beaten by Lakewood Park while he was told to go back to his country. South Asian women have been targeted in hate-motivated robberies. Palestinian residents, and I'm also Asian American, was basically censored and told to leave from a city-ride event. And then I second what's happening with Ulysses Lopez as far as what's happening as far as hate. We're having a festival on it. So these aren't small things. They're life-threatening acts of hate. And I hope that this council does not create it, exclude everyone. So if we create a study and have community events, I think that we should be ensuring that everyone is impacted in the community, keep the experience and the scope, basically including everyone. And so I just hope that I just hope.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gabriel, if you can proceed to the lectern, you have 3 minutes to address the commission.
Hello, is this on? Yeah. In honor of the upcoming United Against Hate Week, I want to call attention to the surge of Jew hatred that this country, and Sunnyvale in particular, has seen since October 7th. Some of the prior speakers in this very meeting are great examples of this pervasive anti-Semitism. I'm a Jewish Zionist Sunnyvale resident myself. There are many other Jewish Zionist and Israeli residents in this city. All hatred is horrible, of course, and worthy of study. Jew hatred is unique. It's often called the world's oldest hatred. Anti-hatred initiatives that aren't specifically focused on Jew hatred too often ignore or even promote it. We need to study and to unite against anti-Semitism as its own unique thing, including through outreach efforts, lest Sunnyvale's Jewish community experience even more irreparable harm. It baffles me that anyone could oppose or speak against this. I can see the possible headlines, you know, if things go the way they seem to be going. Sunnyvale City Council refuses to study Jew hatred. Too many anti-hate organizations ignore us. Please don't fail your Jewish residents. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair, that was the final in-person speaker wishing to speak on this item.
Remote speakers are warned to limit their comments to the agenda item being considered. A speaker who are ruled out of order will not be given another chance to speak on this item. The title of this item is Discussion of United Against Hate Week and Planned Community Engagement Events. Recording officer, do we have any remote participants wishing to speak on this item?
Yes, Chair, we do. First, we have Dina S., followed by Aram J. Dina, you have been unmuted and you have 3 minutes to address the commission. Dina, you have been unmuted.
Hello? Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. I'm here today to remind us all that no one community's suffering is more valid, more important, or more deserving of protection than another's. After the anti-Palestinian hate we experienced at the Hands on the Art Festival, we practically begged Mayor Klein, Tim Kirby, and the City Council to take public steps to stop anti-Palestinian hate in this town. Despite our repeated pleas, nothing was done. Instead, this hate was allowed to continue inside these very chambers. At past City Council meetings, I have been harassed. I've had to listen to hate speech. One speaker even addressed me by my name and called me a terrorist. And Mayor Klein, Tim Kirby, and the council allowed it to happen. That's why I'm joining you today via Zoom. Sunnyvale is not a safe space for me. It is not a safe space for Palestinians. I understand anti-Semitism. It's a real thing. It should be addressed. But it is not different. It is not more important than hate against any disadvantaged group, be it LGBTQ, be it Palestinians, be it Asians, so on and so forth. We all want to live in a city where people feel safe and respected. Yet when it comes to Palestinians, our concerns have been ignored by this city. That silence sends a clear message that our pain is less important, our safety less valuable, and our dignity less worthy of protection. If Sunnyvale is truly committed to fighting hate, then it must fight all hate. As we honor the struggle against anti-Semitism, and I honestly do from the bottom of my heart, we must also honor the struggle against anti-Palestinian hate, against Islamophobia, so on and so forth. No community is more important than the other. Sunnyvale must do better. You must get this right and make this a city where all people, including Palestinians, are safe, respected, and valued. I urge the city to not move forward with this individual study on just anti-Semitism. I urge you to broaden it to address all different groups that have been marginalized within Sunnyvale, including Palestinians. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Aram J., you have been unmuted. You have 3 minutes to address the commission. Aram J.
Oh, hello. This is Avram Finkelstein again. And I want to advise you that I am a proud Jew. My grandfather was Avram Finkelstein. My great-great Moses Finkelstein. My grandfather, Louis Bayer Finkelstein, the youngest of 19 Ukrainian Jews. I happen to be an anti-Zionist, just like the other gentleman was a Zionist. I simply, as a former public defender, a free speech advocate, am an expression my view that, yes, we should have a one-state solution, which would be the elimination of the state of Israel. That's not hate speech. That's a different opinion of somebody that believes the state of Israel didn't steal. I'm sorry, you're going to need to let me finish. This is not hate speech. This is why are you trying to cut me off
in our meetings?
I'm sorry. This is free speech. I'm sorry, but you are cutting me off, and you are violating my constitutional rights by cutting me off. Now I want you to stop that.
Thank you so much.
I am speaking in favor of Palestine, and I oppose the state.
I don't know if
it
is that
way.
I just repeated what you told me. Mm-hmm. Okay, just say that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Oh, okay. This Human Relations Commission meeting is a limited public forum, and the commission can regulate the time, place, and manner of the speech. Speaker comments during communication must be limited to the matter within the commission authority, which is known as the commission subject matter jurisdiction.
Thank you, Chair. That was the final remote speaker.
Thank you. Moving on to our next item, 250A96. Is there a staff report?
Yes, Chair. Just trying to find the... Give me 1 second. So, sorry, it's just that I have all this. Okay, so Over here, we're discussing as a standing item consideration of potential study issues. Thanks. It's just that I have so many papers. So we have four potential study issues. They were all proposed by commissioners from this commission. And so I want to just direct you, and I hope that you were able to have, you know, time to read what each one of them, you know, what were the elements or the key elements that proposed the issue, what precipitated the study, and also the staff summary of the scope and comments. I just don't want to go over the study issue as you all had time to read. I'm here just to maybe answer some questions, but the idea of having a study issue presented by the commissioners is to have a conversation and move on to a vote. So in this case, really the staff presentation is not me presenting, but the person who actually submitted the study issue will share with the commission. As I said, what are the key elements if they want to add to what they have in the study issue form. And based on the comments from the proposed by me, by my office, then have a conversation, and someone has to move for a vote. And so if it's added to the list of study issues, however, I wanted to read one thing to all of you, which actually the chair and the vice chair received this week. And I'm sorry this happened the way it happened, because I know last meeting we went over very diligently on the study issue process. And because there is a study issue on the study issue process, last meeting, I think it was last Tuesday, yeah, council had a presentation where the consultant did a deep dive into the analysis that they did of the whole process, and they came up with their suggestions to the council, and council is now, they have had a conversation as far as what they think they would like to do with this process. So even though this process is under study, because we had agendized all these issues, we're going to be discussing it. But what I want to say to the commissioners is that this process and this study issues might not go forward to the council just because the whole process is being under study. So I wanted to read you the email, but sorry, I have so many papers. I apologize for this. Hold on, I can pull it. Because not everybody. Yes, that's the one from Tim. Yeah, no, it's okay. I have it. Thank you so much. Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay. So, dear board and commission members, as you know, the city hired a consultant to review the study issues process. At the August 26th council meeting, council held a study session on the study issue process. I also said to watch that. I think it's very important for you all to watch that. And maybe I mentioned this to the new commissioners because we just met recently. The consultants, Raftelis, presented to the city council and received valuable input from both council and board commission members and suggested improvements. Study session input will be incorporated into the consultant's final report, which Raftelis will present at the October 21st council meeting. Based on input at the study session, council appears likely to make changes to the existing study issue process. With this in mind, staff recommends that boards and commissions postpone a sponsorship of the study issues at their September and October meetings. If a study issue idea has already been agendized, like is our case, at an upcoming September board or commission meeting, it might be discussed and added to a running list of proposed study issues if it receives support from a majority of the board or commission. Following the October 21st council meeting, staff will provide additional direction and assist board and commission members in implementing the new process later this year. In preparation for the annual February workshop. We again thank you for volunteering your time for the city and look forward to working with you as we continue to improve our processes. If you have any questions about the study issue project, please contact Michelle Sahere and I can share the email with all of you. So that's having said that, because these were already agendized as Tim is suggesting here, if this study issues receive a majority vote, then it can be added to this running list of proposed study issues. And that's basically where we are at. So I just opened this space for, discussing or voting directly on the study issue. The first one, which is 25-0, or that will be something that chair will do. But we'll be addressing the surge of Jew hatred in Sunnyvale, a call for a community center study on safety and inclusion. Item 25-0896.
I will now ask for a question from my colleagues. Does anyone have any question
or discussion?
Any comment?
I'm the one that proposed this study issue, so I just want to, I assume that it's been read. I don't know that we need to take the time for me to reread it. Would that not make any sense, right? I just want to add that this continues to be an issue for Jews in Sunnyvale. There's been a real shift in the climate since October 7th of 2023, since that savage and massacre on civilians. And Jews that I know personally are afraid to wear their Jewish stars. They're taking down their something called a mezuzah. It's a symbol that is on many Jewish houses in the door frame of the front door. And houses of worship and the local Jewish day school have had to dramatically increase security. Parents are afraid. People, again, they're hiding their Jewish identity. We have many Israeli citizens here. They tell their kids not to speak Hebrew. They don't speak Hebrew. They avoid it when they're out in public. There are people moving who have moved out of the community. I didn't plan to mention this previously. I mentioned briefly to Fernanda, but I am one of those people who is going to be moving out of the community because the climate has shifted so dramatically. And this is not to diminish the suffering of any other group, but I, as a proud member of the Jewish community, and brought a study issue to serve my community. That does not preclude other marginalized or groups that feel that they've been bullied or harassed or discriminated against, feel unsafe in the community, from bringing their own issues. Anybody is welcome to propose this study issue. I understand that news to me as of tonight that there's now a shift in how the study issues are going to be done, like you said, a study issue on how the study issue is done. So I don't quite know how that's going to affect things procedurally or substantively, but I stand behind what I wrote here. If my colleagues want to take a moment to read, the screen that's in front of us that discusses why this is such an important issue, then I would encourage them to take that time.
I would just say, just to highlight some of the comments that I made here is something that you all know, that the community equity assessment is moving forward, which in the comments that I added to the study issue, where not that this proposal is not important, but it will be added to the community needs assessment. So part of it is focus groups that are going to be selected from the community. And when there is done something similar in the past. They are focus groups that are particularly highlighting an identity. And that's where we want to encompass this study issue that can be absorbed by a larger project, because this is not a small budget item, it's a large budget item for the community equity assessment that has been in progress, as you all know, because we have had discussions about this for over a year and a half. So we are using a consultant that is going to help us on creating this spaces for focus groups. And the idea here with my explanation is to pretty much merge the search, or the what Esther calls here is to gain a better or clearer picture of the nature of the extent of anti-Jewish actions and sentiment. And I say here is just to find a clearer or broader idea of what are these issues that not only are affecting the Jewish community, but other communities. So it will be part of this larger project. And in a way of also utilizing the tax dollars that our residents are putting into, you know, the work that we do, we also have to think about how do we make sure that we're not using or not doubling our efforts in two things that could be completed by one large project, which is going to take at least between 7 and 10 months. So it's going to be very comprehensive. That's what I'm trying to say.
Any other question, comment? I will now ask for a motion from my colleagues on addressing the surge of Jewish hatred in Sunnyvale, a call for a community center study on safety and inclusion. Any motion?
I'll make a motion to vote.
Is there a second?
Second.
Oh, okay. So first voting.
No.
Okay, I move to include this in the proposed agenda, and we will vote on that. Is that right, Fernanda? In the list, in the proposed list. Yeah.
I second that motion.
I'm sorry, can you restate the motion, please?
For us to vote on whether to include it in the proposed list of agenda items. Study issues. That's what I keep meaning to say, study issues. And my brain's tired, I apologize.
Okay, so just to confirm, the motion is to have addressing the surge of Jew hatred in Sunnyvale, a call for a community-centered study on safety and inclusion to be a part of the study issue list.
Yes.
Chair, can you please turn on your mic?
Yes, sorry.
Can you clarify that for me?
One more time.
Mm-hmm. Are we including it in the existing Sunnyvales, or is it going to be a separate study issue?
So my understanding, the motion on the table is to include, and Vice Chair, please correct me if I'm wrong, is to include this study issue onto the study issue list.
I wonder if we need to have two separate motions. One is, should it no? Okay.
So either, so if this is a study issue, if you move this to be a study issue, it's like you are basically saying yes to Esther. So this is going to be looked as a separate thing, right? So it will be part of like, okay, let's move this to a study issue. So the next time, but again, because I don't know what's going to happen with this study issue process, I will have to come up with a more robust explanation of how we will address this. But you already know that this is going to be included in the community equity survey. So the vote here will be to, do we add this as part of the study, as one of the list? Will this be part of the study list, of the list of the study issues? That's what I want to say.
As a distinct item.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah. Right?
Okay. Yes, that's the motion on the floor. So you're going to vote on including it in the running list.
There's some. Uh-huh.
Thank you for the clarification. Okay. So, recording officer, please conduct a roll call vote.
Commissioner Zolkowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Rosenfeld?
Yes.
Commissioner Terry?
Yes.
Commissioner Landa? Commissioner Camacho?
Yes.
Vice Chair Sakia?
No, I think the topic is very important, but I think it can be covered in the community equity assessment.
Chair Zapata?
Yes.
The motion carries 5-0 with Commissioner Landa absent. 4-0, I'm sorry. My apologies. So the motion carries. The motion carries 5-1 with Commissioner Landa absent.
Thank you, reporting officer. Okay. Moving on to our next item, 25-0901. Is there a staff report?
Yes, Chair. So I think that for the next one, I feel that the best way to do this is, since you presented this, maybe just talk about the key elements of the issue, and then I go over the scope, the stuff summary of the scope and comments.
So you want me to talk about it? Okay. So I propose this as a study issue. I attended to the flag raising in San Francisco for the Colombian community. And it was such an emotional moment for the community. And I also know that they do for another communities in San Francisco. I also, I did my research and I find out that there are another cities that they also raise the flag of the different communities that they live within the city. And I think it's a really way to include our community, especially because San Ima, almost 50% of the San Ima residents are immigrants. So I think it's a really good way to make feel our communities that they belong to the city, that we recognize their richness. And yeah, that's why I propose it. And I think it would be great if we could do it here in Sunnyvale.
Thank you, Chair. So under my summary of the scope and comments, just wanted to point out that the city of Sunnyvale doesn't have a policy that allows commemorative displays of international flags, However, under the policy, Council Policy 7.330, ceremonial flags might only be displayed through council adopted resolutions, which has guided past decisions. And that's why we are flying the Pride flag, the transgender flag, as well as the POW and MIA flags. I understand the feeling and the of pride that actually Paulina and I felt because we were at the same ceremony, but it comes down to the number of staff that is part of like cities like San Francisco and San Jose, for example, that have a lot more of budget as well as staffing. And in this case, not only that we have this council policy, but it's also a conversation about budget and the type of budget as far as like resources, but also as a staff and time. So the other part of it that touches upon the council policy is that, as I said here, if council were to revisit the issue, there are several questions that need to be addressed, including if international flags will be part of a government speech that is sanctioned by the city. What criteria should guide that recognition of different countries, how to manage the logistical, fiscal, and staffing impacts, which is something that I just addressed, and just pointing out that definitely, although we appreciate the diversity of our city and the diversity of our residents, comparing us with San Jose and Fremont, these are two cities that definitely have much more resources than Sunnyvale. So there has to be a conversation about prioritizations of resources and to ensure that this is feasible as well, because then we are also looking at the process, but also how many of these flags are being are going to be flown, and is something that I think in the past the council has revisited, and that's why they go back again to their council policy of just adopting this by council resolutions, and the ones that they have done have been limited to the ones I just mentioned.
Thank you, Fernanda. I will now ask for questions from my colleagues. Do we have any questions, comments? Okay, so, now I will now ask for a motion from my colleagues to have these flag raising policy to be part of the study issue list. Is there somebody's going to make the major motion?
So just, I actually do have a question. Sorry, I was still formulating my thoughts when you asked for questions, Paulina. Is the intent to have the particular country's flag raised at particular events like Mexican Heritage Month, or something like that? Or is it, how would it be formulated if it were, would it be event specific? Would it be like a general kind of policy in the city?
So the way that I saw it in San Francisco, and also where I read that like Milpitas and San Jose, they do it for a specific events, let's say Independence Day, or for Mexico. I don't know. I'm just going to say something like an example, like their Independence Day or Cinco de Mayo, that they're important dates for them. So I was thinking, like, the way that San Francisco did it this year, they raised their the Colombian flag on Friday, and they illuminate the city hall with the colors of the Colombian flag for that weekend. But it was just, you know, for the specific event that they were commemorating the Colombian independence.
So the study issue would be looking at whether the city could implement a policy allowing at particular events relating to that population's heritage or country of origin, the flag would be raised.
Correct.
Thank you.
Do you have any other question, comments?
Yes.
A mí la idea me parece muy bonita, pero me parece también un poco, no sé cómo decir la palabra sin que suene tan fea, peligrosa en este momento político que está llevando el país, porque pues sería un foco y lastimosamente cada día salen políticas más restrictivas a nivel nacional, políticas federales. Y yo pienso que todas las personas que no somos nativas de este país, con o sin papeles, ya tenemos un temor permanente ante la situación que se han ido desarrollando. Entonces, sí es una idea muy agradable, pero en este momento político me parece un poco, como lo dije anteriormente, un poco peligrosa.
Can I ask a question of my colleague, Commissioner Camacho? Do you mean literally putting people in physical danger because of some kind of negative reactions that could come up in particular individuals in response to the flag?
Pues es que en este momento se han desarrollado situaciones en todo el país a nivel físico y a nivel de libertad, porque precisamente incluso en las comunidades se han desarrollado temas que la comunidad inmigrante se ha limitado, incluso de reuniones familiares en donde no se está generando ningún tipo de punto patriótico, y se están limitando situaciones familiares por el tema que se está desarrollando con inmigración.
I'm not sure I can.
I just was reading the translation, and I think that even though it's not wrong, I think that maybe Claudia, when you speak, then try to do it slower, but just having said that, I will just say that what she's saying, and I'm sorry to be kind of like explaining what you just said, but basically that if at the federal level, there is that there's not some sense of safety, right? So if we are having flag raising ceremonies where people are going to be gathering, maybe that's going to, a lot of those folks are afraid to actually be out. All gathering around something that represents an identity to a country that might be seen right now as not welcome in the community. So that's what she said.
It would seem to me that it's precisely at such a time as that it is important to telegraph that these particular groups of people are welcome by honoring, you know, whatever holiday, Independence Day, whatever it is that relates to their country of origin. It seems to me that it's precisely in times like that where standing up proudly with the Colombian flag, the Mexican flag, whatever it is, members of our community would be appropriate.
Can I ask a question on a different note? Has there been any research done into what cities similarly sized to Sunnyvale have done, or like Mountain View, for instance? Do they also do these types of flag raisings? I know San Francisco, San Jose, the county, it's a much larger operation per, you know, what Fernando was saying. It takes costs money. And with everything trickling down from the federal level, funds are being cut. That is something we may want to think about.
And doing the proposed study issues costs money too. Like going into the study issues costs money to study them.
Right.
But adding it to the list doesn't necessarily mean that the city is going to tackle it. The city has to do its own. They have a list that is pages and pages long, if I'm not mistaken, of proposed study issues.
So just to get clarification on my question, it sounds like there hasn't been any research done yet.
Like researching if these kind of events have been done in other cities?
Yeah.
Yes. I check Milpitas, San Jose, and San Francisco, they do this.
But cities that are similarly sized, because San Francisco and San Jose are much larger than Sunnyvale as far as staff and resources go. So my point was that's something we should think about.
Yeah.
And that would be covered, I think, by the study issue to say, is it reasonable for a city of our size or not?
Right.
Yeah.
Do we have any other question, comments? Okay. So I will now ask for a motion from my colleagues to have these flag raising policy to be a part of the study issue list.
Do you have? I make that motion for the flag raising policy to be part of the study issue list.
Is there a second?
Sure, I'll second that.
Recall officer, can you please conduct a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Rosenfeld?
Yes.
Commissioner Terry?
No.
Commissioner Landa? Commissioner Camacho?
No.
Commissioner Zielkowski?
No.
Vice Chair Sakia?
No.
Chair Zapata?
Yes.
The motion fails 4-2 with Commissioner Rosenfeld and Chair Zapata voting yes, and Commissioner Landa absent.
Thank you. Moving on to our next item, 250915. Is there a staff report?
Just following the example of the previous study issue, I will let Commissioner Rosenfeld speak about the exploring youth representation on city commissions, and then I'll give my comments.
So this issue was brought to me by community member, high schooler Maddie Chang, and I know that she addressed this commission last month at the August meeting. She leads the Sunnyvale Youth Advisory, and she's presented to City Council in the past, and really asking for there to be dedicated youth rep positions. And I believe she gave a pretty full presentation last month. I don't really think I have anything that I can add. Unless there are any questions that I can answer.
So under my comments, and I think that we all had some experience with having someone from high school, which was great to have Commissioner Ramizetti as part of the HRC. And I think that youth participation is really wonderful. And we saw that participation when we created the HRC. We also realized that there are some issues that prevent students potentially when they are either close to graduation or when finals come up for their participation to be fully on our own, you know, commission. So I'm particularly speaking from our own lived experience, but also and I bring up some other issues here that are important, like fresh perspectives, you know, creating spaces for the youth to start their political engagement early on, which are great, and we should all think and support that. However, at the same time, I feel that we need to think about the impact that this will have as making it mandatory for all these commissions as well, because it involves the participation and the dedication of a group of students and youth that might not be seeing this as something that they want to participate, and then will struggle in finding their, you know, struggle to find or fill out their seats. I also have to say that this is something that council will be discussing in the November meeting. And so I will say that once council takes over, I think the study issue then kind of like loses interest in the sense that they will already be discussing it.
Right. It sounds like it becomes moot if council is discussing it, because one of the things I was going to ask is whether it could be amended to just, you know, the questions in my study issue form: how can the city conduct more effective outreach to ensure diverse youth applicants, and how does youth input improve the work of advisory bodies, especially those focused on equity and inclusion and on youth issues like bicycling and things like that? Is that what the city envisions discussing in the November meeting, or what was the focus of the youth involvement that the city council is addressing?
We haven't gotten to that point yet, but I also did want to mention that some of the commissions are based in our charter, and changing them will require a charter amendment. So there's going to be more to be discussed.
So that kind of brings a procedural issue. Could I amend this form on the record to just those last 1, 2, 3, 4 sentences or lines in section one? Starting with, how can the city conduct more effective outreach, et cetera. And it could end at the word youth civic engagement, period.
May I? At this time, all study issues that have been submitted, we've already passed the deadline for that. So that would be, we would have to bring this back to the commission so that you would vote it to be on the list. But unfortunately, we have run out of time for that to amend the way this is, because in October when we meet, we'll be presenting you with the list.
So I'm just asking if I can amend it now on the record to basically reduce the scope of what is requested in this form.
Liaison would need an additional 30 days to update this form.
Yes, that's what she was saying. So basically, if we amend it, it was not agendized. So basically, the amendment will have to go and be agendized for the October meeting. And because we already have that directive from the city manager, in a way, he's saying do not agendize anything else.
Okay, then I'll withdraw the study issue if I could do that on the record.
Yes.
Is there a reason why I couldn't?
No, I think you could say.
I guess in light of the fact that it's being addressed in November and in light of staff's assessment of the logistical challenges, it would make sense for the city council to address it independently. I mean, it sounds like it's on the radar, and I think that's the important thing is to include the youth voice more.
Nanda, are you just talking about the study session on November 18th? It's a joint meeting with the board and commission chairs to discuss how to improve overall effectiveness of the commission meetings.
Yes, that's correct.
So not specifically about youth engagement, but about overall the meetings and how to improve them.
The information that I received from the city clerk was that this issue will be part of that discussion. So just to clarify. But yeah, it's part of like a larger issue of boards and commissions and how to, I don't know what you said exactly, the title, I don't know, but that was the information that I'd received.
Can I clarify that? Because there's a difference between having more effective meetings and having a more effective commission. And I think diversity of perspective lends itself to a more effective commission. There's a difference between how the meeting functions and who gets to be on the commission.
So that is a good point. I think that maybe just to solve this, discussion about amending or not amending, maybe instead of removing it, just let's take a vote and then we'll pass that. So I just suggest that you'll take a vote.
Okay. I will now ask for a motion from my colleagues to have this item be part of the study issue list.
Okay, I'll make that motion.
Is there a second?
I second.
A recording officer, please conduct a roll call vote.
Commissioner Terry?
No.
Commissioner Landa? Commissioner Camacho?
No.
Commissioner Rosenfeld?
Yes.
Commissioner Zolkowski?
No.
Vice Chair Sakia?
Yes, and because it's only because we don't know what will be discussed in the November meeting.
Chair Zapata?
No.
The motion fails. 4-2. I'm sorry. So the motion carries. I mean, my apologies. So the motion fails 4-2 with Vice Chair Sakia and Commissioner Rosenfeld voting yes and Commissioner Landa absent.
Thank you. Moving on to our next item, 2509. 23, is there a staff report?
Yes, and continuing with what we have done so far is let Commissioner Rosenfeld speak about the issue of amending the policy manual to include religious observances as excused absences.
So I'm just going to kind of recap what I put in my study issue form, which is that particularly as the Human Relations Commission and with our mission being to promote equity inclusion, failure to recognize a religious holiday as an excused absence is more than a little ironic. And it kind of undermines our credibility and our purpose. You know, we should be modeling inclusive behavior, including religious accommodation. Again, this one affected me personally. I celebrate and observe the Jewish holidays. I was observing the Jewish fast day known, again, ironically, as the Fast of Esther, when we had a meeting that day. And so I was not able to make it to the meeting and was very surprised to find that in our policy manual, there is no such accommodation for absences to be excused based on religious observance. So if there's any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
And I'm just gonna.
I will now ask for a question from my colleagues. Anyone? Does anyone have any question, comments, anything?
I just will add that I agree with Commissioner Rosenfeld. I feel that it is good at to look at this Council Policy 7.219 on what is an excused absence and include religious absences to make this policy more inclusive. So I think that that is something that I feel that we all should be aware of and not penalize any commissioners or board members for participating in their faith-based practices.
I have one question. So when we say that we can come to your meetings because we have a religious holiday, so that was our argument to clarify that we are not going to be able to come to the meeting, right?
Yes, but it's going to be an excused absence. So okay. What happens is that you have one personal absence, mm-hmm. but in this case, Commissioner Rosenfeld had already used her personal absence, and okay. this was going to be added to a second personal absence, mm-hmm. and that's so it was an unexcused absence. So when we add this, and the other part of it is that when we create the work plan, which, by the way, is going to be discussed next month, you can see the dates that the meetings are going to be happening. So you can, ahead of time, can let us know this is falling in blah, 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 right? And that, and then we, Selena and I, will know that you will be, will have an excuse absence. So just to follow up the process that we have for absences.
Thank you for. Do you have any question, comments? Nope. Okay. I will now ask for a motion from my colleagues on having this item to be part of the study issue list. Is
okay. I'll make that motion.
Is there a second?
I second.
Recording officer, please conduct a roll call vote.
Before that, I'm sorry. I just wanted to add too that this is going to be part of the council discussion because I think it's it makes sense from what I also understood from the city clerk. So just wanted to.
Are you sure, Fernanda?
I am sure.
Okay. Just double check.
That one I am very sure.
Are we ready for a roll call vote?
I think so.
Okay. Commissioner Zolkowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Camacho?
Yes.
Commissioner Rosenfeld?
Yes.
Commissioner Landa? Commissioner Terry?
Yes.
And Chair Zapata?
Yes.
Vice Chair Sakia?
Yes.
Motion carries 6-0 with Commissioner Landa absent.
This next portion of the agenda is for oral reports and announcements by commissioners and staff to share information. Do commissioners have any non-agenda items or comment? But I was so quick. Does the staff have any non-agenda items or comments?
Yes, Chair. Just wanted to make sure that you all are aware that September 20th, Saturday from 8:30 to 12:30 is the State of the City. And you're all welcome and encouraged to attend. Please also, those that receive their jackets, please wear them on that day. And if you have your name tag, please wear them as well. Hope to see you there. That's my announcement for all of you.
Nobody else? Okay. The meeting is adjourned at 9:12. I want to just thank everyone for your participation in tonight's meeting. Have a good night.